Today we will be reading from God's Word in Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Would you please stand for the reading of the Lord's Word? And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thanks, Meredith. Good morning, Grace. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with you this morning. I asked Adam if I could preach on this one. It's the strongest rebuke of all the evaluations of Christ to the churches. And he said, as long as you caveat it, it's like, I'm not asking you to like, there's no need, nobody's asleep in our church. I chose this passage primarily of a memory. I love your pastors. I remember when Am and I were in seminary, still kids, and we were planning to come to the Pacific Northwest. We decided to partner and church plant together, and we would go on runs. And at that time, Adam is way better in shape than I was. And so he would ask questions, and then I would try to talk to him as he asked these questions. And it often led to him talking more than I would talk. But as we desired to church plant, the theme that kept popping up is that whatever the Lord allows us to do is that Christ in his name would be the focal point of our ministry. And for that reason, we find so much joy that across the river from Reliance is a church that treasures Christ's name and one another. So proud of you. And we pray for you and are cheering for you. And so with that in mind, when Christ evaluates his churches, it comes with a warning, sometimes as encouragement. Like, nobody plants a church thinking, well, one day we'll fall asleep. That'll be our goal. Nobody plans that. And to be fair, at Reliance, we're not planning for that either. And according to God's wisdom, he provides in the book of Revelation seven evaluations, which reminds us that Christ sees his churches. And he is concerned about them for what they reflect to the world around them and the cities that they're placed. And so with that, I do not bring any rebuke with the rebuke, but rather just a reminder of what Christ has called us out to become. People that are fixated on him and his instruction, that clothe ourselves in his word, reflecting that to the world around us as an act of worship. Every week, I know, both either myself or Adam, the greatest fear that a preacher will face. The fear is, not that your zipper is down, that may be one of them, but that after his study, or after one study, that they would be able to hold your attention for 40 minutes without causing someone to fall asleep. He must think of the youth, the young adults, the parents, the singles, the grandparents. And if he does it just right, and he evaluates where his church is at as it relates to this passage, he will be so successful even to capture the imagination of the infants in the room. And we know that it's hard at times to hold one's attention for 40 minutes, and the great fear that every preacher has is as he weighs these things, that some might lull themselves to sleep. It's probably the worst sound in the ear of a preacher after preparing all week when the word is finally being delivered, somebody snoring. I was once a guest preacher somewhere else, and shortly after the worship and after the reading of God's word, I had barely opened my mouth, and in the balcony, a loud snore. And quickly, the poor man, probably working very long hours, announced his disengagement from that which was thus going to be said henceforth through his loud snore. And quickly, there was a chuckling in the room, and somebody ran up the stairs to awaken him. It's humbling, not only for the person that's snoring, not only for the person that's running to go awake him, but also for the person that had worked all week trying to keep that message so that they could receive it. The worst position, I believe, for an entire congregation to be, that when the word of God is being preached, that you're in the state of sleep. Why? Why is it the worst place to be when the word of God is being preached or in the idea of sleep? Why is that the worst place to be? You're cognitively unreachable. And it's okay, and the church can bear one or two, and we have spouses, right? Like, we bump each other, and we try to remind ourselves, or you have a friend that's going to say, hey, hang in there, we're doing it together. For it to be encouraged along the way as you hear a sermon, that's one thing. But for an entire congregation to be in that state, when Christ evaluates the church of Sardis, it's not just one. It's the majority which have found themselves cognitively unreachable. One of the questions I want to evaluate with you this morning is why? What took place? Because nobody wants this evaluation. Of all the churches, this is the worst. How do you get here? Because they thought they were good. Look at verse 1. As Jesus begins his evaluation and he reminds us, he's watching, he's considering our practice as Christians corporately. In fact, one might expect if you read the seven churches as a whole, that when he introduces himself to the church, that he's going to first, I got taught this at Starbucks when I worked there, that you give a couple compliments before you give out the hard stuff. He doesn't do this here. He goes straight to the heart. There's no compliments. The other churches got it. This one doesn't. It starts to feel like that, but then it quickly takes a right turn in verse 1. I know your works. This is a normal theme which has been read before. If you have read the seven churches, you could feel the church girding up to hear what they're good about and what they do right. You have the reputation of being alive. Period. No, it's not. And in the midst of, while they might find themselves appearing having gotten some things right, the rebuke takes place. But you are dead. There appears in these six verses to be very little optimism. Sadly, up to this point, if you read this other five church evaluations, You recognize that some are facing false teaching of the Nicolaitans, teachings of Jezebel, their fight against sexual immorality or idolatry. Yet when you read these six verses of Sardis, there is no mention of these concerns. It goes straight to the point, and it is abrupt. The issue in Sardis is not that some were tolerating false teaching or sexual immorality. The issue is that only some were doing it right and the majority were asleep. So there is a hint of optimism. Look at verse 4. You can see it. You still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The whole thing is not yet completely dead. But what is a few? It's a small number in relation to the majority. Only a few within the community have found faithfulness and held fast, and the rest are cognitively disengaged, asleep. So that he says in verse 2, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. The question is, when you read Sardis, is what went wrong? What's the issue in Sardis? And what is interesting, it is a passage I think you meant to read and reread. It's strange, it's not strange, but in the sixth verses, the occurrence of the word name occurs four times. You have a reputation, or like in I already read it in verse 4, you have still yet a few names. It's one of the four. And when that one is referenced, it's referenced in the positive sense. If I might, what I'd like to do real quick, just to figure out what the issue was in Sardis, is to look at those four. And the fourth one becomes the obvious reason what's gone wrong and why they have fallen asleep. I've already mentioned the first of the four. You have still a few names in Sardis. People who have not soiled their garments, they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They have a name or a reputation of walking with him. Continue to read the book of Revelation. Those who have not soiled their garments are those who are willing to associate with Christ and his word. Associate with the person of Christ and what he says. Revelation 14:4. It is these who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Though these have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. The few in Sardis, the church, who are getting it right, have no fear of association with Christ and his instruction. And by that means, they are not asleep. Again, Revelation chapter 7, in this grand scene of yet is what to come, John sees this great multitude in verse 9, and what they're clothed in. After this, I look and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. And look what they're doing. They're crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They are unashamed. To whom they associate with. And so of the first four times that it is used, they are defined by not their soiling their garments, which means, oh man, I was homeschooled for a long time from 4th to 9th grade. And when I went to school in 10th grade, I recognized the challenge, the temptation to associate with those who do not believe like I do. And it's a battle. I remember when Reliance first started off, like, people can draw a crowd. We can do that. And I remember sitting with one of our, standing actually, with an elder in our church, with just a few, being tempted to get the thing rolling fast. I remember saying, we have to stay fixated on Christ and His Word, the things that matter. Anyone can draw a crowd, create a reputation, but that which Christ evaluates is the association that they find with Him and as relates to His Word. The second and third occurrence of the four actually find themselves in one verse, verse 5. You'll see it mentioned twice here. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. As a result of what they're clothed in and their association to Christ and their commitment to His Word, I will never blot His name out of the book of life. I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Remember, he is talking individually, but he's evaluating His church, so there's a collective nature to it. And that you associate with me, those who collectively associate and individually associate with me, their name forever will be associated with me. I will not blot His name out of the book. I will confess His name before the Father. In other words, the Lord uses in this evaluation of the church of Sardis, He uses the few to rebuke the majority. He uses the few who associate with Him to rebuke the majority who will not associate with Him. Three of the four times the term name is used in this six verses is to stress the positive manner by which they are using the salvation given to them. The fourth occurrence, thank you for sticking with me, is harder to see because often the translation is translated differently than the term name. So explicitly you can see three, but the four, though it is translated in its proper sense, the term is the same, but translated differently. And it is found, and I have been saying it this morning, in verse 1. When Jesus evaluates the church of Sardis, He says, I know your works, you have the reputation. The term is name. You have the name. You look alive. From those who on the outside and watch you minister within the city of Sardis. And by their perception of what they see the church doing, in the majority, your reputation is that you got it right. We as churches do not find our validation for what we're doing by those who are on the outside. We find our validation for what we do as a church as a result of our association for what Christ has done amongst us. And it's for this reason, and we're all, nobody wakes up, like I said in the beginning, and like, in a couple years we'll be asleep. Or when we get the building, then we'll be ready. Because I know you want one. We prayed for one for you too. But sometimes when you get the building, you get idle. And sometimes the benefit that you guys have in the midst of this season, even right now, it's not about them. It's about the person of Jesus Christ and submitting yourself to his world, through his word. No concern of what the world thinks, though you do not have a building, because that's not what this is about. I remember when we were thinking about church planning, you guys. Why? That's a hard question to answer. Because God loves to send. As a result of sending his only son, we want to taste Christ. And from an outside perspective, it's about the numbers. That's where success is. And you're cutting the numbers. But that's not the point. For Reliance, it has been a journey for the last 2 years to know Christ as you guys have sent. To know Christ in that, what it's like to send those whom you love. You have this reputation of being alive, but you're cognitively detached, prioritizing things that I do not prioritize. No longer associating with my name. Then he calls them, wake up. Verse 2, strengthen what remains and is about to die. Let it die. If God so wished that you should be here for 15 years, would it be okay? I'll tell Adam that. If he so just wished, if the aim remained that Christ be fixated as the reason for our fellowship and the regular fellowship to his word, we will be alive. Wake up, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. John, having the privilege to write Revelation, as instruction, not only just to Sardis, but all churches, a warning. It can't happen to remember that when he was sitting with Christ, and Christ said to the disciples in his ministry in John 5:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the life to the church. And you could do a lot of good things and leave me out of the mix. As a result of that, dead, pointless, void. And so he calls them to three things. Remember. Verse 3. Remember. Don't forget why we sent you. Is so the people of Pasco could enjoy a congregation that treasures Christ and his word, working that salvation out together. And what you received, hold it fast to that which you heard. Keep it. Not every church is perfect. You're going to go off a little bit. Reliance doesn't. That's nice. But when you do, repent. It is easy to put your hopes in things that the world thinks is appropriate. It's so easy. If anybody had the greatest advantage, I think it would have been the Pharisees. They had the temple plated in gold. It was incredible. People from all the region would come just to see it. And the scribes and Pharisees got to enjoy it. And do you remember what Jesus said to them? Not nice things. He said in verse 2 of chapter 23 of Matthew, he said, The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit on Moses' seat, so do, observe whatever they tell you. They're teaching you right. They're doing it right in the means of teaching. And then he said, but not the works they do. For they preach and they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens and hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers. There is a type of Christianity that if we're not careful, we forget to do the thing that we're actually called to do. To associate to Christ in Him as our Savior, submitting ourselves corporately in obedience to His Word. He reminds us then, and even I think in Sardis, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. But you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also are outwardly appear, you appear right. You have the reputation. But within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Grace, remember. What you received and you heard, keep it. And if you get off track, repent. It's incredible that our Lord Jesus Christ stewards to us the church. And we read chapter 1 of Revelation to think that, yeah, we're probably going to mess this up at some point. But in the midst of His character is grace. That when we do, we can come back. But there is a warning. If you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief. You will not know at what hour I will come against you. I'll shut the thing down. Why? The church is a reflection of who I am. The world around you. You have a name and it's not reflecting me. And for such reasons, if you do not wake up, I'll establish a new one that will. My convictional response, I think, is sufficient. You must not fall asleep. That's the same for reliance. Remember, keep, and repent. Hold fast to one another as you remind yourselves of Christ. And here is your reward. The one who conquers, verse 5, will be clothed thus in white garments. I'll never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. We love you. So encouraged by you guys. Find great pride in the unity that you share, treasuring to always find it in ourselves. Remember, hold fast. And if you find yourself a little off track, repent. Associate with the person of Christ, clinging to His Word. The one church, Philadelphia, I'll close with this. It's like the one of the churches, like, gets perfect evaluation, like the perfect child. I know that you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Church exists to reflect the person of Christ and His Word to one another and the world around us, not allowing the world to define what would make a good name. We have nothing. We could find no one better to reflect to the world around us other than the person of Christ and His word is life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the grace that we treasure in Christ. What a strange thing that you steward us with the ministry of your church, for we all know that the biggest problem in the church is ourselves. So Lord, keep us humble. Remind us of why you have brought us together. Strengthen the love that we share with one another because of the love of Christ we've all enjoyed. And Lord, even now as we are prepared to take communion, when we find ourselves at odds with one another or a little off track, may you find us in our hearts humble, willing to repent, recognizing that you have called us to good things. And Lord, I know it's true not only of reliance, but I know it is true of grace. We fear our own evaluation, desire adamantly to be found faithful. Continue to be patient with us until that day you return. In Jesus' name.